But go ahead and open up to Malachi. No, don't grab your wallet. Don't grab your checkbook. Open up to Malachi, and also you can be turning to Mark chapter 9. We're going to still be talking tonight. I can't get away from this. We're still continuing on what we're calling a place called done. And there's an aspect of it that he keeps trying to get across to me, and I keep trying to tell about it. And I'm, in my opinion, failing miserably. I'm having trouble wrapping words around what my spirit is chewing on here. And in some of it, like even tonight, some of it you go, well, that's so obvious, that's so simple. Let me tell you something. It is. But it is so profound. When we get a hold of this, we're going to have our revival. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, it's like I was sharing with Tim a little bit, and I said, I don't like to use the words, it scares me, but it alarms me or it alerts me. It's like every now and then, we're so close to another realm. We're so close. The membrane is getting so thin. It's like every now and then I get a whiff of air. I get a whiff of the atmosphere from that realm. And it makes you go, I mean, I'm not talking literally. I'm not with my nose, but with my spirit, it's like I'm catching a breath from an atmosphere, from a kingdom I've not lived in. But it's enough to where it brings me to attention. It's like, what? What's going on now? We're close to something. So, two Sundays ago, not this Sunday, but the Sunday before, I was in, because of certain circumstances that came about, I was in Dayton, Ohio, and I got to teach at Pastor Jim Martin's church. And he shared a message with me that the Lord had delivered through him the previous Wednesday night. And I purposely made a point to listen to it before I preached Sunday, because I wanted to see, I wanted to find out something, and what I suspected was true. Now the way the Lord showed the message to him happened to be out of Haggai, but the message itself was exactly what's been taught here at the prayer center. And it's like, Lord, there's no, and I know it would be the same if we went to the other churches where people are listening and praying and listening to the Holy Ghost. I said it this way at Jim's church. I said, the Lord doesn't send me here to teach you, or like out of a fear that if I don't come and speak, you're not going to receive his mind. You've got a pastor here through whom the Lord can speak his mind. And he's got you right at the same place. He's talking with you right at the same place he's talking with us. So then I deliver my message and I get back and I find out that Pastor Dave was teaching almost identically the same message, even using the same verses out of Hebrews 1 and a few others. People, we're getting close to something. We're getting close to something now. When that kind of unity is going on and we're all independent. See, again, people think because the revelation when I teach or when Dave teaches or Tim or Alan or whoever, they think because the revelation just dovetails like this that we must spend a lot of time together. That's not really the case at all. But we're all spending time together with the same teacher. That's why. Well, help me, Lord. Here I go again. Now, see, already I'm reaching. My spirit's reaching beyond my intellect because my intellect, I'm having a hard time. Where do I even start? Okay, Malachi. Let's start in Malachi. Chapter 3, just where you feared. But whoever heard of turning to Malachi chapter 3 and not talking about the tithe? But we're not. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Now, before I go any further, how many of you know that Malachi, the book of Malachi, is the end of the Old Testament? what God's saying here. In fact, there's a silence that comes for a period of 400 years between the voice of Malachi and when Jesus begins to minister on the earth. A silence of 400 years. So this is very important here. This is the last prophecy before Messiah comes. See, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Now, who he's talking about right there is John the Baptist. Okay, this is John the Baptist. But this prophecy continues. But then it says, and the Lord, that's Jesus, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Now get this phrase. This is the phrase that's been rolling in my spirit. Even the messenger of the covenant. The messenger of the covenant. You know who that? That's who Jesus is. He is God's messenger of the covenant. You say, I knew that. None of us knew it the way we're about to know it. I told you Mark 9, but go on over. Keep Mark 9, but go on over to Hebrews 1. See, what we should put there is this. He is the only messenger of the covenant. You say, oh no, there's been many. Malachi was a prophet, and Isaiah was a prophet, and all of these were messengers. Well, in a way, they were. But Jesus is the messenger of the covenant in a way completely unlike any others. There are no others like him. Neither will there ever be. And let me show you what I mean by that. It's Hebrews 1, starting in verse 1. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now let's just stop there for just a moment. I can't tell you over the years how many times I've assimilated the book of Hebrews. I know it was a minimum of 30 because that's when I counted the beans on. You know what I mean? Finish it, take a bean, move it to the other jar. So I know this one is a minimum of 30 times because I had 30 beans. But anyway, thousands of hours praying in other tongues, meditating this book. I don't know how long it took before the Holy Spirit got it across to me. What's said right there in verses 1 and 2? That's what the whole book of Hebrews is about. That right there is the whole book. Why is it called the book of Hebrews? Well, this letter was written to Jewish converts to Christianity. They grew up believing that the way to please God was to keep the law of Moses. They put all their trust, like their forefathers had for generations, in the law of Moses. But then somebody came and preached to them that God had sent his Son to fulfill the law perfectly and then take the punishment for every man who could not keep the law. He became a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. Someone preached to them the blood of Jesus. So these Jewish people who grew up under the law, they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They heard the message that this was God's Son and that he had come with this message of redemption. And they chose to believe, let's say it this way, they forsook the law of Moses in the sense of trusting that to save them. And they turned instead to the blood of Jesus Christ. Would that be fair? But then this pressure comes on them from their parents and from the rabbis and from all the Jewish culture. I could just imagine, you know, if you're young people especially and they're converted to Christianity now. And here comes these rabbis with their black clothes and the hat and that long beard and the curls. I mean, they had to look like, you know, surely Abraham has risen from the dead. I mean, the authority. This pressure would come on them. And what would the message be? It'd say, who is this Jesus? We don't know who he is. You are forsaking Moses. You're forsaking the God of your parents and his parents before him and his parents before him. We don't know who this Jesus is, but we know God gave the law to Moses. You need to reject this imposter, this Jesus, and turn back to the law of Moses to save you. So the writer of Hebrews, he writes this entire letter. The whole thing is about keeping them from treading underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ, rejecting Christ, and turning back to the law of Moses. That's why starting off, I mean, the writer of this book, he starts off blasting them. He doesn't like just ease his way gently into this argument. Notice how he starts this off. He says, look, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Notice how he's blasting them right off the bat. He's going, all right, there was a lot of prophets. There was a lot of them. You could go back, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel. God spoke to us by the prophets. But in these last days, he's not mincing any words, he has spoken unto us by his Son. And then he goes on to say, I mean, look at this. He's going, by whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, why is that important? Listen how this would sound to the Jewish mind. You're thinking about, hey, we appreciate Moses. Thank God for Moses. He obeyed God in his generation and he received the law. Thank God for Moses. But listen, the messenger who has come in our generation, he made the world that Moses' feet stood on. This one is a little higher authority than Moses. Then he goes on about the angels here. He's going, what do you think about angels? You think they got some power? To which of them did God ever say, this is my Son? You trusted in the law of Moses, and you should have. But listen, God has sent a different messenger, a little higher authority than Moses. This one made the world that your feet are on. Maybe you ought to listen to what he has to say. This is a messenger unlike any messenger who has ever come before. Unlike any other. Now turn to, we are going to go to Mark 9, but go to John 3. You know, Nicodemus did not come asking Jesus how to go to heaven. Now we quote that all the time. We tend to think that's what the conversation was about because of John 3:16. In the course of the conversation, we have that famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever trusted in him should not perish, but would inherit eternal life. But because we quote that, we think that, okay, John must have come, well, how do I go to heaven? That's not really what was on Nicodemus' mind. I said John, but Nicodemus' mind. So let's pick it up here. John chapter 3. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. How do you know it? Well, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, what's he really saying? He's going, I've been watching you. Now, let's think about Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a ruler. He is a Pharisee. This man loves God. He has given his whole life to the service of God and the study of God's work. He's made it up into the rank of the Pharisees. And he's going, I've been studying God's Word and I've been the Old Testament and I've been studying people my whole life. And I'm telling you, we ain't never seen nobody like you. How are you doing this? Can you give me some insight into what's going on here? Now, in order to start understanding Jesus' answer, thank God for the born-again trail, you all know that Jesus is standing there as the only human since the fall of Adam that has the life of God on the inside of him. The very nature, the spirit on the inside of him was spawned in Mary by the Holy Ghost. He's talking with a man who is descended from fallen Adam. The spirit on the inside of Nicodemus is what the Bible calls the spirit of the world, has the law of sin and death working in it. So we've got two beings. To the natural eye, they both look like humans. They both look the same. But see, we know from the spiritual understanding that we have these two humans are from two different worlds. Nicodemus is from below. Jesus is from above. And he begins trying to explain this to Nicodemus. And he says it this way. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, thinking only naturally, well, how can he be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus takes another run at it. How do you tell this man, I'm from a different world? I'm from a different kingdom. I'm from a whole different realm. Dave used this phrase last week. You're from the outside of God, and I'm from the inside of God. That's a good way. That's a good way. I like that. How do you tell a natural person that? So Jesus takes another run at it. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That, they thought Nicodemus, he could say it. Listen, that which is born of flesh is flesh. You know when Dave says, you little flesh creature? Boy, that was true for Nicodemus. And all before the cross. You're born of the flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And at that moment on planet Earth, there's only one born of God's Spirit, and that's Jesus. He's trying to tell him what's going on here. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Now, let's come on down here a little bit. Coming down to verse 12. Jesus sees this is not going to work. He says, He said, look, I can almost see it. If I've told you earthly things, you know, giving him parables, talking about birth and all of this. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And here's the verse. I said all that leading up to this. This is what makes Jesus the unique messenger of all time. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Even so, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Boy, he's talking as plain as he can to Nicodemus now. Let's say it this way. Yes, God spoke in time past through many prophets. There was Abraham, Moses, Jeremiah, Isaiah, on and on and on. You could go with all of it. Malachi, the one we read there a while ago. But all of those people were born on this planet. And not one of them had ever even been to heaven, much less come down from heaven. Why is it so important? Jesus is the only witness we have. He is the only one who has ever been there. He's the only one who knows everything the other side of that membrane that we keep talking about. He's the only one that's been there and come to bring us words telling us about the place called done. He knows how it works. He's been there. He knows how it works. And nobody else does, especially your unbelieving relatives. Well, I need a miracle. Jesus says, if you'll listen to me, I can tell you how to get it. Amen. Yeah, but I need a financial miracle. If you'll listen to me, I can tell you how to get it. But my baby needs a miracle. If you'll listen to me. I've been there. I've seen it. And besides that, he's not letting Nicodemus know this right at this moment. But he could say, Nicodemus, you ought to listen to what I'm saying. I made the ground your feet are standing on. Don't you think you could trust what I'm saying? That I might know what I'm talking about. That you might could believe me. See, now I'm beginning to finally understand why Jesus at times just seems so kind of short with people. You know, I mean, I especially think about the ones, you know, let us cross over to the other side. And here they go. They're going to take Jesus over to the other side. And he goes to sleep. And this great storm comes. And these guys are not strangers to boats. I mean, they've lived their whole life on the sea. They're fishermen. Peter is one of them. James and John are in there, the sons of Zebedee. And, I mean, they've made their living their whole life on the ship. And here comes this great storm. And I always thought they were pretty courageous. I mean, they don't want to bother the master. They work all night. They, you know, if they made a movie of this, I don't know what it would look like. I mean, the ship would be tossing and turning, and I can see them bailing it out. And other guys would be on the oars, and they're raising and lowering the sails. And avast you, matey. I don't know what all they're doing, you know. And they're wet and they're tired, and it says they toiled all night, and finally the ship is still just about to sink. And right at that last moment, I mean, they're not cowards, you know. It's not like they just threw in the towel. They worked hard all night, and they come to Jesus. We're about to die, you know. And you notice he didn't get up and grab an oar and help them row the boat or anything. He didn't help them bail. See, he gets up and he goes directly to the root of the problem. He takes authority in the Spirit. And he stops the storm. Now picture with me. The peace. Be still. Whew. A great calm. And here's Peter and James and John. Dripping. Wore out. Every muscle in their bodies aching. And part of them's going, "Boy, Master, that's really something. But, you know, we worked all night. We did the best we could." And I know part of them's expecting an attaboy. I would be expecting an attaboy, you know. "Hey, I appreciate you guys. Man, I know you worked hard. I thank you for, you know, you guys are not cowards. I'll give you that. Boy, you didn't just come running at the first little sign of trouble. You fought hard, didn't you, boys?" Yeah, didn't you, boys? That's what I would expect. You know why? Because I thought just like them. What does he say to them? And now I'm thinking I understand the look on his face, and it's even worse. Because he's going, "Who do I do? How is it?" I can't. I'll talk to, there's a person right here. "How is it that you have no faith?" And they're going, they're standing there, dripping, wore out, tired, no attaboys at all, just... And now I'm beginning to understand it. He's been trying to teach these boys here for a couple of years. He says, "How many times have I already sent you out to cast out devils in my name? You remember when even you were surprised when you come back and you were surprised, you were amazed that the devils were subject to you in my..." Do you think this storm is more stronger than those devils? You think my name is not above this storm? You think you couldn't have stopped this storm? When are you boys going to ever start believing the message that I have come to bring you? I am the messenger of the covenant.
Hallelujah.
Nobody else has been there. Nobody else knows how it works. There's never been another human on the planet who was in heaven first except me. You know, that's why later on in the book of Hebrews, when he explaining all this, he says, that's why Jesus is the author. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen, he is the messenger of the covenant. He is the firstborn from the dead. You are somewhere along, you're some number born down in there, but you are in a species that never existed before Jesus Christ. We have Isaiah, we can learn from Isaiah, but he's not even really of the same species as you. He's a man that loved God, but had the nature of sin and death working in him. He couldn't be born again before the cross. Thank God. I tell you what, the more I'm learning about this, the more I take my hats off to him. Joseph, with a sin nature, rather go to prison than to be seduced by his employer's wife. With a sin nature, love God enough to overcome the flesh. And I won't tell you about some of the counseling sessions I have with people that are born of God's Spirit. I won't tell you about some of the struggles I have myself. I don't want to put myself up on a pedestal. It's a good God, man. Can't you love God as much as Joseph? I've got the nature of God on the inside of me. The power of the Holy Ghost upon me. Nobody can stop me but me. Nobody can stop me but me. And my Lord. My Lord can stop me with a word. Oh, you know what I'm saying? If I'm going down the wrong path or something, now He'll stop me. But I mean, if I'm going down the path He sent me on, then nobody can stop me. Who has got more authority than He who made the planet? You tell me. Who has got more authority? No wonder it says His name is above every name that is named. No wonder it says, at His name, every knee will bow. I'm beginning to understand why, at His name, the mountains bow. The trees clap their hands. He made the rascals. See, and that all sounds good tonight, but tomorrow you got that old Sears bill. Oh, my God, not the Sears bill. The mountains may clap, or the mountains may bow, and the trees may clap, but my Sears bill won't bow. It'll bow. Tell me it won't bow, it'll bow too. You smell that? I just got a whiff, I think. I think I just got a breath from that other realm there just for a moment. See what gospel did He say to go preach? What did He call it? He said the gospel of the kingdom. You know what Adam lost? He didn't lose heaven, you know. He'd never been there either. Did y'all ever figure that out? Adam was never there either. He didn't lose heaven. Adam lost the earth. He lost His dominion. Let's say it this way. He lost the kingdom. Jesus has come to give man back the kingdom. But this Adam, the last Adam, he has all dominion and all authority, not just on earth. He has it all in heaven and in earth. Now who's going to stop you if you're operating in His name? Okay. What am I saying? De labrato si. And everything I'm preaching, just so you'll know, has everything to do with Victoria. And everything to do with Tommy. For benefit of the tape, who can't see what I'm doing, we have a prayer box up here, and we have several children. Some of them need a creative miracle. Medical science has no hope at all for Victoria. None at all. Zero, absolute. Am I telling the truth, or Daddy's here? Medical science has no answers. They have nothing. There's no hope at all for Victoria. How many of you know that condition in her is about to bow? It's about to bow to the name. See? And I mean, it's not even a problem for God. It's not even a problem. It's not even a... It is as nothing. It is as nothing. Like, whew, and it's done. Same with Tommy. Tommy's a man that's 30 years old now, I believe. Might be 31. I always get it mixed up. He either has cerebral palsy or muscular dystrophy. In any event, he's never walked. Been in a wheelchair his whole life. Can't talk. His legs are about as big as my wrist because he's never used them. But he's very much in there. He's in there. Can't talk to you. But he knows when you're there, and he's so excited if somebody comes to see him. He has real buck teeth. And he can't kiss. His lips doesn't have that much flexible to him. But if you come to see him, his eyes just dance. He's so glad you came. And he'll take your hand. And the way he kisses, he touches your hand to those buck teeth. You think? Sue and I went to pray for him. Aaron was with us. Christy Smith and Linda. The parents were there. You think we didn't pray? With all the faith we had, turned ourselves inside out, believed with all that we knew how to believe. Yet at that moment, now we walked away just as defeated as those disciples who couldn't cast out that lunatic spirit. Well, that's the bad news. The good news is we can change. See, if our answers depended on changing God, we'd be in trouble. Because who can change him? He can't even be changed. If our answers depended on getting the devil to change, we'd be in trouble. He's not going to change. If our answers depended on getting the world to change, it's not going to change till we get a new heaven and a new earth. That only leaves one other person. The bad news is, we're the problem. The good news is, we're the problem. Because we can change. We can change. And I'm telling you right now, if I was to have asked the Lord that night, which I did, and he did tell me, I wouldn't have got any attaboys either. None of us would. Me or Sue or Aaron, if Dave would have been there, he would. If it didn't happen, he wouldn't get any attaboys. Oh, I appreciate you all going and praying. Man, you did good. Glad you went over there. Glad you used my name. You even did a little fasting before you went. Boy, that was good. No, he'd be looking at us exactly the way he looked at those in the boat. He'd be looking with this incredible dismay on his face. How? Look at here I am again. How is it that you have no faith? I don't want to be looking at anybody. That's too hard. Now let's say it a different way. Why can't you believe what I told you? See, that's why he said it that way. I am the messenger. Nobody else has been there. Yes, sir. Go to John 17. And no, I have not forgot about Mark 9. Boy, this is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. It's one of the most unique things on earth that we would have a record of this. How many of you would love to have, boy, would I love to have a written record. Those nights that Jesus went out on the mountaintop, prayed all night, fellowshiped with his Father. Boy, how many of you would like to have a record of that? See, we're not given many glimpses, but here we have a record of God the Son praying to God the Father right before the cross. It's one of the most unique things probably in all of history. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify, who is this? Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Who are we trying to believe here? Who is this messenger? Glorify thou me with the glory I had with thee before the world. Father, before you asked me to make the world, we were together. Now notice, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. When he says, I have manifested thy name, manifested is when something... See, you can have something in theory. You can know a lot of things in theory. But when you manifest it, it's no longer just theory. Now everybody can see it. There was a time when back in engineering, the engineering school days and physics days, when they used to tell us that light could not be bent. How many of you know that light can be bent now? They have these cameras that go through these flexible tubes, and light is bent through those things. That all kinds of theories over there. I remember as a little boy going to those movies and seeing those old Buck Rogers episodes, the black and white ones, where every now and then you could see the string that was holding the spaceship. You know, they try not to let you see that string, but every now and then you'd see it. A little fire coming out the back of it. And this thing's supposed to be going through outer space, you know. And in theory, in those days, they had ray guns that would slice through steel. It was only theory then. Here recently, I was watching something on the History Channel and how they're using lasers now to cut through steel because it makes the most precise cut. That ray gun that was only theory, boy, it's for real now. Amen. Well, that's what Jesus is saying. Listen, the prophets, they have spoken. They've all told about God. But I have come to manifest God. That's why he told Philip, have I been so long with you and you don't know who I am? Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I like to say it. Now, let's get it real down in Pottawatomie County talk. I didn't just come to tell you God's a healer. I come to show you God's a healer. You got that? I have manifested thy name. They don't have to just take my words for it. He said, either believe the words that I'm telling you or believe for the very work's sake. I've come to manifest His name, not just tell you, I come to show you. All right, now he continues on. We're after something here. I have manifested that, verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Now here's the verse. Who is this Jesus? He is the messenger of the covenant. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. I have given unto them the words that thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I have delivered unto them the words. Malachi prophesied, this Lord who is coming, he is the messenger of God. He is the messenger of the covenant. He is going to bring you words like no. Who was it that somebody said, no man ever spake like this man? Boy, you got that right. Have you all found Mark 9? Let's go to Mark 9. Hallelujah. Now, usually when we look at this, we're going to look at that epileptic, you could say the lunatic boy or the epileptic boy, you know, the episode. And normally here at the prayer center, we study this out of Matthew 17, usually during the fasting series. And so most of us are more familiar with Matthew's account than we are Mark's account. But Mark gives us some information that Matthew just doesn't give us. So let's look at it here. Starting in verse 16. And he asked the disciples, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him," now get this, "he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." Matthew's account, it says they tried, but they could not get that devil to come out. Now, Jesus doesn't give them an attaboy here either. He answers them and says, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, now look at, straightway that spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. Why? Why did that devil do that? He thought Jesus would be like the disciples, moved by what he saw. What do you think that devil's doing? He's trying to, you know, get the circumstances as bad as he possibly can, hoping that Jesus will be moved by what he sees. Oh, this is a big bad devil. I mean, it's not going to work. Verse 21, he asked the father, he said, "How long is it ago since this came into him?" And he said, "Of a child. Oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him." Oh boy. "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Now, let's give this man some credit. He hasn't, you know, the book of Hebrews hadn't been written yet. He didn't know that the one he's talking to is the one who made the world that his feet are standing on. Otherwise, he would never ask that question, "If you can do anything." But see, that is never the issue. And that's why Jesus immediately turns it around. Listen, our problem is not God. And our problem is not whether he can. That is not the issue. Jesus turns it right around to what the real issue is. And this is the one that he's been talking to me about now. We're right now to where Gary lives. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes it." You know the story. Straightway the father of the child cried out, and this is a good prayer. He says, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." That's a good prayer. How many of you have prayed that sometime in your life? I've prayed that. That's a good prayer, but we shouldn't stay there. Now, the Lord will help you with your unbelief, but we need to get to the place where we just flat believe it ourselves. We call ourselves believers. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. Here's the one who's from the other side. He's got a message. The Father is restoring the kingdom to man. I'm going to pay the price for Adam's transgression and for all the descendants of Adam who's transgressed. I'm going to pay the price. And through that offering, God's going to receive it. Then he is going to establish me as the second man, the last Adam. And all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. God is restoring the kingdom. Now, I'm the one from the other side. I know you've never been there. Can you trust that what I'm telling you is the truth? You have a father who will do anything for you if you can believe it. If, can you believe that? If you believe it. There's a raging going on in the land ever since Dad Hagen stepped away from his post. And sad to say, a lot of, quote, preachers who preach under the banner of the word of faith are preaching a lot of stuff that Dad Hagen would never, never agree with. So they're giving a lot of fuel to the fire, turning people away from what we call, quote, the word of faith movement. Well, I can sure understand why the enemy would love that. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, the messenger of the covenant has come. The only one who's been there. The only one who really knows how this works. And He says to us, not just to that father, He says to us, me too, I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to believe this even more than you believe it. He says, all things are possible. Say it out loud with me. All things are possible if, say it,
if
you can believe. So it doesn't matter whether I believe or not. Yes, it does. What is it we're supposed to believe? His message. What He called the gospel of the kingdom. Well, what kind of things are included in that message? What things soever you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive it. And you shall have it. I don't believe in that word of faith message. Will you believe the messenger of the covenant? He says, if you believe you receive when you pray, you shall have it. There isn't any more affirmative word than shall have. Not a maybe so, not a good chance. You shall have it. What else did this messenger of the covenant say? Well, he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that whatsoever he saith shall come to pass, that man shall have, that man, that woman, that person shall have whatsoever he saith. I don't think it makes any difference what I say. That's not what the messenger of the covenant brought to us. He says it does matter what you say, and it matters whether you believe what you say will come to pass or not. He's been blasting me with this Mark chapter 9. Because I'm telling you, to me it seems like I believe. I mean, it does. I understand it. I can teach it. Alan can teach it. You can teach it by now. You can go to some place that's never heard the word of faith and you can teach Mark 11. So I started to say Hagen 11, 23, 24. You can teach it. But can we demonstrate it? I mean, it feels like I believe it. It seems to me like I believe it. But when I pray, if it doesn't happen, now what's the problem? What would Jesus say? Oh, I'll give you a nice attaboy. He'd say, Gary, you ever going to believe the message? Gary, how is it after all this time? You can't believe the message that I brought you. Do you think I'm a liar? Do you think I wasn't really there? Do you think I don't know how this works? How is it, Gary? I'm picking on me now, aren't you glad? How is it, Gary, that you have no faith? Let's say it this way. How is it, Gary, you don't trust me? How come you just don't believe what I tell you? Y'all about ready for me to close? And we're still you're in Mark. Go over to John 6. We'll finish there. Now this is almost identically. I know I preached a real similar message here already. This is pretty close to what I taught up at Dayton. And it may be what I teach you the next 5 times. Because until I get this, and I really can't go anywhere else. I guess I could drop back and just teach you lesson number 687 out of my notes. But see, it's a lot better. I'm trying to bring you right where I am. Let's contend for this room. Let's contend for this. Jesus did not lie to us. All things are possible to us if we can believe this. And what we thought was believing is not believing. Okay? John chapter 6, and really, if I had time now, I'd love to go back and follow all the way from John chapter 3, because he's been laying this message out that whole way. But see, in John chapter 6 here, let's look at verse 28. And really, this is our question. It's not exactly what they were asking him, but it'll do for us. Let's talk about Victoria. Let's talk about my mind right now. I'm having Tommy. Then said they unto him, "Well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Didn't Jesus say, "The works that I do, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father"? So we might say, even at this stage, but Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now notice, they asked plural. What must we do? What shall we do that we might work the works, plural, works, plural, of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work, singular. This is the work. This work produces the works." This one singular work is what causes all of the other things to happen. This is the singular work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. I was looking this up in the Amplified right before I left to come down here. Do you know what the Amplified adds? "That you might believe on Him whom He hath sent, the messenger." The messenger. It's picking right up where Malachi was. The messenger of the covenant. Now see, we think we believe this because we've been taught it, these things, so long. Yes, sir. When he says that, I close the Bible. I don't know how to do it except what he's telling me right now. He's going, "Help me, Jesus, get words around this. Help me, Holy Spirit." I can only say it in tongues. And the very fact that you're having this trouble illustrates the difficulty that man has. You're trying to receive eternal truths and filter them through a natural mind. And it's difficult to even speak of eternal things with natural things. "But I did not lie to you," says the Lord. "And the message I brought from heaven is truth." And "karabraso," to him that believes, I say again, all things are possible. Believe the messenger of this covenant. Believe on him whom God hath sent. I spoke truth to you. Yes, Koraleso. And I have sent Karamasi, the only teacher qualified. The only teacher who can, yes sir, illuminate you with this spiritual truth. You kamama siba, as I said to Nicodemus. You can't even see into these things, lest you be born again. But you have been born again. There is a capacity on the inside of you. Yes, sir. Oh, my. I haven't seen that in years, Lord. Yes, sir. My, my. Oh, my. Kimasun krasito. He's going to finish it up with a picture instead of words. I haven't seen this one in years. I mean, since I'd have to go back to my computer. This is the second vision, the second teaching vision that I ever had from the Lord. All the way back in those trucks, all those years ago. My goodness, we must just now be coming. Most of you have heard me tell the one about the man on the horizon. You've heard me tell that a lot. The second vision, teaching vision I ever had from the Lord. This won't take long. In this vision, I saw a curtain. It was a black curtain. Couldn't see through it at all. It was like thick velvet. But reaching through this curtain from one side to the other side were arms. And I could see them back just to the elbow and maybe just beyond. And I could tell that they were, and it was all different colors. I mean, it wasn't just white arms, but, you know, there was black and brown arms. And I could tell some of them were male and some of them were female. And they were reaching through. I'm on the side of the curtain where I can see the hands reaching through, you know. And they're doing like this. They're grasping, trying to get a hold of something. But they can't see because there's that thick curtain. And they've reached their hand through and they're trying to get what's on the other side. But they're coming up empty all the time. And I watched it for a while and I said, what does this mean? The Spirit of the Lord, I don't know if this is word for word, but it's the essence of what He said. He said, my people in this generation have accurately been taught the principles of faith. But they cannot see beyond the veil of the flesh into the realm of the Spirit sufficiently to lay hold on the inheritance and the possessions that I have for them. He says, continue to spend time with my Spirit. He will draw back the curtain of the veil. And you will be able to see and lay hold on the inheritance that I have for my people, says the Lord. We're real close to that curtain drawn back. We're real close now. Glory to God, glory to God. I hadn't seen that in years. We're close now. But doesn't it feel like that? You know it's over there. But we've been like blind people reaching through. And thank God for Kenneth Hagin. Thank God somebody was sent to relay the foundation stones of faith. But then thank God for a Dave Roberson who says, yes, faith is good, but how about some walk of the Spirit? How about some leadership that comes from the Holy Ghost? How about some illumination that comes from the teacher of the body of Christ? So that curtain gets drawn back. We are spirit. See, that realm, that spirit realm, ought to be more natural to us than this world. Because that's where our home is. The spirit that's on the inside of us is spawned from there. That's home. That realm should be more natural to us than this realm. And He's going to give us eyes to see. I can see it as plain. I see what He's doing now. That curtain is about to be drawn back, Gene. And we're going to see. Now, there's another one. My goodness, vision night. There's another one. I just saw it again. This is years later. He says the anointing is going to become... handling my anointing will become as a master mechanic handles his tools. As the master mechanic diagnoses a problem and looks on the shelf and instantly recognizes the tool that will solve that problem. So in the realm of the Spirit, those that have been trained by my Spirit shall see a problem in the natural. And they'll look in the realm of the Spirit. And as with the same skill as the craftsman, they will bring my anointing from that realm and apply it to that problem. And my Father's will shall be done upon the earth. Glory to God. See, we all understand how that works in the natural with a wrench in a car that won't work. He's saying, I'm going to show you how to do that in the Spirit with bodies that won't work. Glory to God. I think I just got another breath of air from that room. It makes me, startles me when I get it. It goes, God, you mean really all things might be possible? Oh my God, you mean if we can believe? I told Jim Martin, I said, Jim, I'm excited, but I'm scared half to death. He said, what do you mean? I know we're right on the verge. But Jim, what scares me is that it's all going to boil down to, if you can believe. Oh my God. You mean it's going to boil back down to that if we can believe? After all of this time? But believing is just not what we thought it was. See, this believing has a reality to it. It has a reality to it. It is a walk. It's a maturing of the new nature. It's something had to grow up to be able to receive these things. Boy, I'm excited. Everyone say with me, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For sending. The messenger of the covenant. I declare by faith. I believe his message. And I declare by faith. All things are possible. I think you better stand up and praise him for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All things are possible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Father. We are believers. This is the work of God that we believe. All things are possible to those who believe. The only prescription he gave, he said, this kind of unbelief. What prescription did he give us? This kind goeth not out but by. Y'all ever heard of a message? You ever heard of a place, a church, a message? Maybe we ought to do some prayer. And maybe we ought to do some fasting. But the good news is, we can change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to go. Now, you do know that there is, as far as I am aware, in the Word of God, there is no line. There is no line that will impart this to you. The only answer for this is the message. And it's really up to you. He's not going to violate your free will anymore than he's going to violate anybody else's. Tomorrow you got to fight that devil of same old like everybody else has to fight that devil of same old. And we're going to either yield time over to that teacher or we're not going to yield time over to the teacher. I believe we're going to yield time over. I believe Dave's about to come back with some grapes. That's going to make everything that seems so important not seem so important anymore. Things that kept us out of God's presence aren't going to keep us out any longer. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, I thank you that it's penetrated and gone into good soil. Father, I declare by faith, not a single person, that I know the enemy will come and try and steal this word, but Father, I declare the name of Jesus over this message. And I declare by faith, this is good soil. Even those hearing the message by tape and will hear it at another time, still, that message will penetrate and go into good soil. Father, I believe it's going to bear fruit 30, 60, and even 100-fold. And the world is about to see that Jesus is alive and well.